what does it mean when we say that the decree of Haman was nullified? Because the Rebbe, in many places, including Dvar Malchus for Pasha Tetzave, uses the expression that the decree was nullified. Bitul Gzeiras Haman. So this expression is a little surprising, because where in Megillas Esther do we see that the king's order containing Haman's evil decree was rescinded? We don't. The Megillah actually tells us the opposite, that Haman's decree was sealed with the king's ring, and something that's written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's ring cannot be rescinded, it says in the Pasuk. So what actually happened was that the king issued a follow-up decree that it's the right of the Jews to assemble and to protect themselves, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish the entire host of every people and province that oppress them, as in the Perikres of Megillas Esther. But the original decree of Haman remained in full force. It could not be rescinded. And yet the Rebbe says that the Haman's decree was nullified. So if we will analyze this, we're going to see it's very relevant to the Geula and to the Sichas of Dvar Malchus. The question is, how can Haman's decree be considered to have been nullified? Because Rebbe says it was nullified. How can we reach that conclusion? How do we understand that? So there are two aspects here. Firstly, the intention. You could say that the intention behind Haman's decree was nullified by the issuing of the second decree, that by giving the Jews in the kingdom of Ahasuerus the rights to defend themselves and to despoil their oppressors, you know, to take all their belongings. So in this, the original intent of Haman's decree is nullified and replaced by the new decree, even though the original decree itself could not be rescinded, still holds in place, but the intent has been nullified. The other way to explain it is that nothing changed until the actual fighting and victory of the Yidin on Yud Gimel Adar, which is when they had the war. And up until that point, it was all theoretical. And rather, we look at the reality on the ground. In other words, the reality on the ground was that nothing changed, but conceptually, everything changed. Those are like two opposite elements contained here. The greatness of Purim, as the Alter Rebbe explains it in Torah Eir, is connected with the Mesiris Nefesh of the Yidden over the course of an entire year of Haman's decree, that he had this decree in effect to destroy, kill, and cause all the Jews to perish. Chas v'shalom. That was decreed to take place on one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. That's what it says in the Pasuk. From the time Haman's decree was issued, which was in Nisan, until a whole year, the following Yud Gimel Adar, which are 11 months, that's 11 months, it's almost a full year. That's what the Alter Rebbe says. The sword of destruction was held over the heads of the Yidden for almost a full year, and yet nobody thought to deny his Jewishness in order to save himself. And this Mesiris Nefesh is what the Alter Rebbe says is the greatness of Purim. But the Rebbe is telling us that Haman's decree was nullified only 2 months after the original decree, that decree was issued. Because it says in the third, you could say it was nullified when Ahasuerus hung Haman on the 8th. Or in the Pasuk that says in the third month, it's the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, it was written everything Mordechai commanded. So that means, that itself was in Sivan, is only a couple of months after. That means that the year of Mesiris Nefesh that the Alter Rebbe in Pnimiyus HaTorah is praising was for the most part after Haman's decree had already been nullified. And yet the Megillah itself tells us that the second decree alone was enough to cause rejoicing. That Mordechai went out in the royal garments, and the Yidden, they had light and joy and gladness and honor. That's from when Mordechai sent out his counter decree, which was in Sivan, only a few months after. So that means the 10 months from Chav Gimel Sivan, the 23rd of Sivan, until Yud Gimel Adar, which is 10 months, they were 10 months of light and joy and gladness and honor. Or, Alter Rebbe is telling us they were 10 months of fear and Mesiris Nefesh. What is it? Or maybe it's both together? And what does it have to do with the Geula? In the Sichas of Dvar Malchus, on Aleph Nun Beis, the Rebbe explains to us that the Mashiach is here, that Geul is here, that when Yom Yisrael Mashiach, all of the anyone who's learned the Sichas knows this. And yet the Rebbe is also crying out from the fact that we're still in Golas, and Mashiach and the Geulah haven't come, but Pil Mamish. And so Chassidim, to this day, are still arguing, are we living in Golas, are we in Geulah? All sorts of understandings. But if we use the model of the Purim story, we can understand how we can manage this sin paradox. On Yud Gimelnis, Haman's decree was issued. Mordechai HaTzadik, dressed in sackcloth and ashes, crying in the street, he gathered 22,000 Jewish children to fast and to learn Torah, and all the people fasted. Esther made two feasts. And after the second one, Haman was hung on the gallows, and the king gave his ring to Mordechai. A little bit after that, on the 23rd of Sivan, the new decree was sent out. Mordechai dressed in royal garments, and the Jews rejoiced. And 10 full months later, on Yud Gimel Adar, the date is approaching, and what are the Sunni Yisrael, the Goyim, starting to do? They're starting to sharpen their swords, because we know that on Yud Gimel Adar, they went out to fulfill Haman's first decree. They went out against the Yidden. So if you're standing there before Yud Gimel Adar, the reality looks very golazdik. The Sunni Yisrael are sharpening their swords to fulfill Haman's decree, which was never rescinded, still stands. So a Jew who lives with what his eyes can see will be filled with fear. Hashem, save us. But a Yid who lives on Mordechai's dimension, he understands that Hashem already did his part 10 months earlier. The Geula of this decree is already here. It just has to be realized in actuality. The Yidden have to take advantage of the second decree to actually assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish the entire host of every people and province that oppressed them. In other words, anybody who's going to come against them on Yud Gimel Adar, they can kill them, but they have to do it themselves. Hashem has done his part, now it's up to you. Sound familiar? So Yud Gimel Adar looks like we're still in a Golos world. But Mordechai has already given us the power of Geula to overcome this apparent Golos and to reveal that the Geula became a reality on Chav Gimel Sivan, and we have Ode V'Simcha V'Sasun V'Yikar, light and joy and honor and all these things. A reality? Yes, it's a reality, but it's still abstract and theoretical. It's not Papil Mamish yet from the second decree, which decree of Mordechai. But one who holds by the theory, so to speak, of Mordechai's approach will know what to do to make this Geul a reality. He's going to boldly take his weapons in hand and go out to face the enemies with confidence. One who is overwhelmed, on the other hand, who's overwhelmed by what his eyes see, he's going to want to lock himself up in his house, shut off the lights, and hope that the Goyim don't see him. He might beg Hashem to save him, or he might think of ways to appease the enemies, give them this, give them that, maybe they'll leave him alone. Either way, he is in a deep golus, despite the fact that Mordechai has put the Geula in his hands. So this is our situation. We are standing on Yud Gimel Adar of the world. Mordechai of our generation, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, has already sent out the decree of Geula. And he has also given us the weapons, Chassidus, Mifzoim, Hakel, Shlichus, all of these things. And the Rebbe said, it must be done by you, and by you, and by you. Those who seen the video where the Rebbe says that it's the lady who says, Rebbe, we're counting on you. The Rebbe says, no, it has to be done. I said, it's done by you, and by you, and by you. What is required is that each one of us understand and internalize the Rebbe's message, which is a direct path. And through this, each one will realize that he can and he must do his part to bring the Geula from abstract theory to reality. That yes, the Geula is here, but we have to reveal it b'pril mamish.